Would you like to be seated? I'm going to ask Nicola if she'll come up and read to us our reading from 2 Corinthians.
Good morning. This is a reading, 2 Corinthians 5:14-21. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling to the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Fabulous. Thank you, Nicola. And let me invite Nigel to come up. We're going to pray for him as he brings us God's word. Father God, thank you for Nigel. Thank you for his thinking, preparation, reflection on this scripture. And we pray now that as he brings your word to us, that we might hear your voice. We pray, Father God, that your spirit would rest upon him, give him all that he needs as he speaks now, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Well, good morning to you all. Lovely to be with you, and also to those of you who are joining us from home. Our Lent series this morning is Life Through the Cross, and it's based on four words from a well-known hymn, and I'm going to test your memory. I'm going to recite the first two lines of the hymn, and I want you in unison to shout out the third line. Okay? Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Well done, I'm so glad you've been paying attention. Well, that is our series right there. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And today we look at restored. As we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see what it is to be restored. Although as I sat down, I had a counterbid from Dave Green. He wants me to speak on last-minute victories. If you're not a rugby fan, you won't understand that. Now, had you been here 10 years ago this very week at this service, you would have found the very same speaker speaking on the very same topic. Now, I wouldn't normally remember that, but there's somebody who I think is probably here today who regularly reminds me. Because on that Sunday, after the service, they went through that door, which wasn't that door 10 years ago, and they went into the old prayer room, which isn't there now, and they prayed with Pauline. And in that moment, they gave their life to Jesus, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And that Sunday, we were looking at Steve Johnson's favorite Bible passage about the woman at the well, a woman restored. And we reflected on this damaged masterpiece by Raphael, the Madonna and the Goldfinch, painted as a wedding present but damaged in an earthquake. But 450 years later, it's restored, stripped back, centuries of dirt removed, the damaged pieces gently, painstakingly reinstated. and then it's restored to its original glory. But it was restored by someone other than Raphael. But on the cross, it was Christ, your Creator, who restored you. He was the one who made you, and he was the one who has restored you. The dirty is cleaned, the broken is healed, and the faded is restored. On the cross, God dealt with your sin. In verse 19, we read, God reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And that's the whole point of the cross. It dealt with your sin. Your sin doesn't count against you anymore. Now, this week I read a press report that a man in Germany has had 267 COVID vaccinations. Apparently, it hasn't done him any harm. But how unnecessarily repetitive. And the Old Testament was like that. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice to atone for sin. But on the cross, Jesus offered one single sacrifice, sufficient for everyone, for all time. Your sin demanded justice. And on the cross, justice was served. Served by Jesus himself. What was yours became his. And what was his became yours. But how was justice served? Well, I'm going to give you a big theological word to chew on. Justice was served by a propitiatory sacrifice. A sacrifice of death, the death of Jesus, a sacrifice which paid in full the sentence of death, which are the wages of sin. And what propitiation means is that it turned away the wrath of God. It satisfied the demand for justice, and it deflected God's wrath onto someone else, onto Jesus. Christ paid in full on the cross the sentence for your sin. And in so doing, he exchanged places with you. In verse 21, Paul says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see that? An exchange. He takes our sin, and in return, we take his righteousness, his perfection. Well, why does that matter? It matters because sin is a barrier between us and God. It's an immovable roadblock, immovable, that is, from our side. But from his side, there was a way, and that way was through the cross, through the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus. So justice is satisfied. Through the cross, we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. But restored for what? Well, in our last church, our home group leader was a lovely man. He was larger than life in almost every aspect. He was Nigerian. In fact, I think Wale might be known to Joy because he's a trustee with Joy's mum and dad of the Providence House charity in London, doing brilliant work with inner city kids. And when Wale prayed, he didn't pray in a reserved English way. He prayed in a wonderfully exuberant Nigerian way. And every sentence that he started with the words, Father God. It was his trademark, Father God. Every phrase he prayed included, Father God. Caught up in the spirit, he prayed, Father God. And I'm ashamed to say that in one rather juvenile moment, I decided to count how many Father Gods there were in his prayer. 82. But what Wale reminded me beautifully every time he prayed was the consequence of being restored. And it's that, Father God, Father, that's what's restored. The relationship with God, our Father, a relationship which allows us to call him Abba, Father. It's what Paul says in Galatians 4:4. God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. But Father is more than just a title which is restored. It's a life turned from being an enemy to being a child, turned from the prodigal's pigsty to guest of honor in the Father's house. Restored means that you are owned, welcomed, loved. Now, I want to show you an old grainy photograph. I don't know if you can see this very well, but it's from the 1950s. And it's the first color photograph ever taken of me. But I don't want you to focus on the one-year-old Nigel sucking his thumb. Nor do I want you to focus on my mother in her very 1950s dress. Someone who on Mother's Day I think of, although I lost her tragically young over 40 years ago. I don't even want you to focus on the caravan, which at that stage we called home. What I want you to focus on is the teddy that I'm holding. He was just called Teddy, but he was my teddy, personal, special, and he went everywhere with me. And 2 weeks ago, when Dan talked about his story of hijacking his sister's doll for a gobstopper ransom, I thought of this photo. Well, when I was about 6, a family came to stay with us for a night, and that included their one-year-old daughter, Frances. They were all emigrating to Australia. They'd sold up and were flying next day. And at 1 year old, Paul Francis was very upset. Can you see where this is going? Somebody had the idea that my teddy would settle her down. And he did. But next morning, Francis and my teddy were inseparable. So somebody decided that my teddy could go with her to Australia. My teddy! It wasn't even theirs to give. Can you feel the hurt 60 years on? I've never, ever seen my teddy again. Separation is painful. If you've ever watched ITV's Long Lost Family, on a more serious note, you will see a child looking for a lost parent, a parent looking for their lost child. There's been separation through adoption or abandonment. Contact has been lost, and the child feels unloved. They fear they're never going to be accepted. Do you feel like that sometimes with God? Abandoned, rejected, unloved? On Long Lost Family, we see that both sides ache to be reunited. Although sadly, I suspect elsewhere that's not always the case. But similarly, God aches to have you home. And you ache for his forgiveness, for his acceptance, for his love. The first step was taken by God. He's already reached out. Verse 18 says, God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. It's God who initiated. He dealt with the cost and consequences of sin and restored. And what is restored is offered to you as a free gift. All he asks of you is to turn in repentance and come and accept his free gift. It's like, do you remember at school, bar magnets? You turn the magnet through 180 degrees, and the Spirit of God can do that in your heart can turn you round so that you no longer are repelled by the advances of God, but instead are attracted to respond to his invitation. So sin is dealt with on the cross by the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus, and God reaches out through that to invite you home. Restored. And restored is a three-part process. First part of that is you get a new identity. Verse 17, which is one of the great verses of the Bible, says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." Paul says you are a new creation. Grasp for a moment that word new. New creation. Not just cobbled together from broken fragments, but God makes you new, a new creation. It's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born again, that's new, that's a new creation. It's a new beginning, innocent, vulnerable. My younger daughter's children are now teenage or approaching teenage, and so she's decided to become a foster parent. And their first foster child arrived, 2 days old, small, vulnerable, needy. And that's how we come to God. Born again of his Spirit, we are small, vulnerable, needy, but we are in safe hands. And that's the first step of restoration, being born again, a new identity. And secondly, we have a new relationship. The one who is the holy judge becomes our heavenly Father. And as with any relationship, it develops over time. Relationships develop as you get to know one another, as you understand one another, as you talk and laugh and cry together. So a new identity and a new relationship. And thirdly, restored means having the living presence of God in you. Paul says, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God becomes an integral part of your life, and you become part of him. New life isn't about just living alongside each other. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In a moment, we're going to sing a song which is, "Not I, but through Christ in me." And that's the truth, Christ in me. So there we are. Through the cross, we are a new creation, ransomed with a great price, healed and made whole again, restored to God our Father, knowing the joy of complete forgiveness. So what are Paul's final words to us on this matter? Verse 20. "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Paul has seen it all, and he has one message. I implore you, be reconciled to God. I implore you, I appeal to you, I plead with you, I beg you, be reconciled, be restored, come home. So where are you this morning? Are you home or are you far away? Are you indifferent, distant, empty? Do you have a deep, unmet void inside? Are you entangled in things that you know are destructive, but you can't seem to shake yourself free? Well, Jesus comes this morning and invites you to come home. He offers new life, to be born again, to be restored. He takes your brokenness and he gives you his Spirit. And that's what he's offering you this morning. He's offering that now. Will you accept it? Will you let the master craftsman clean you and restore you? Hear his call and respond to him. You may never have heard him call you before, but this morning, now, you can accept that invitation. You may have responded long ago, but somehow you've slipped away. Come back, accept his invitation. Because he says, come home. I'm not angry with you, but I miss you and I love you. This morning he's calling you. So open your heart to him and say, yes, Lord, I come. Let's just bow our heads for a moment as we respond to God's call. Paul says, I implore you, be reconciled to God. This is the moment to do business with God. There's a pleading in his heart for you. He's not coming to you as a judge, but as a father. He's not condemning, but he's coming with words of love. He knows you totally, and yet he loves you. Loves you deeply, profoundly. Let him sweep you up in your arms. Let him turn you round, wash you clean, make you new. Let him give you new life and eternal hope. Make this your prayer. Father God, I admit my brokenness, my unfaithfulness, my cold heart. My life does not reflect your love for me. I turn to you this morning. I turn my back on a life lived for self, and I want to live a life for you. Forgive me. Accept me. Make me your new creation. Restore me in the likeness of Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.